Hi, I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family, Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today on the podcast, we're talking to executive producer Dave Arnold, who put on his writers and directors hats for this month's club adventure, Kofkino, a hare, a hedgehog, and a doof. I love that title almost as much as I love the episode.
And we're also talking to cast member Phil Lawler. Phil usually joins us to talk about his role as writer-director, but he got to do one of the voices in this adventure.
Like Dave, Phil has worn many hats for Odyssey. He's written and directed hundreds of episodes in addition to lending his voice to various characters.
And Dave has been executive producer for more than 16 years, sound designed hundreds of programs, written and directed dozens, and played a number of characters himself. So we have a lot of Odyssey experience in today's interview.
Let's talk to these guys.
Well, it's always good when we have both of these guys in the studio, Jesse, but in the interest of social distancing, we have them on the telephone. It's Dave Arnold and Phil Lawler. Hey, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Bob and Jesse.
Dave, let me start with you. This was one of the first shows to be recorded during the COVID lockdown with actors in their homes instead of in the professional studio. Did you already have this show in the works before our recording plans changed, or was it written in response to what was going on?
No, this was definitely written in response. We had a whole other litany of shows that we were planning for the April sessions. And when COVID hit, we realized we're not going to be able to do any of those because they required too many people that did not have home studios. So we rallied the troops. Phil and Marshall and I began to work on brand new ideas really quickly and turned them around as quickly as we can. Fortunately, I had this idea kind of in the back of my head. I hadn't had it fully developed yet, but I knew I wanted to do another fairy tale story with Holstein and quickly researched some options, and this is what I came up with.
Cool. And this episode, of course, follows Rumpelstiltskin, the first episode with Dan Hagen playing Wilhelm Holstein. So was this episode always going to be narrated by Holstein, and did you have any other possible directions considered?
No, you know, when you hear Dan doing Holstein, what other options do you want?
Right.
I mean, the guy is fantastic. So for me, it was always Dan narrating it. I'd love to do more of these kinds of stories just because they're so much fun. And they have such a unique sort of perspective to them. And Dan, you know, having him resurrect the Holstein brand, so to speak, following in the wake of Kenny Mars, who was an amazing actor in and of his own right. And Dan following it really, really well. It's been so much fun to do these kinds of stories.
Yeah, this is the third episode you've written that adapted a fairy tale or a fable. Of course, club members will remember Pinocchio being the first. C.S. Lewis once wrote an essay titled, "Sometimes fairy stories may say best what's to be said." What can stories like this teach us that stories set in the real world maybe have a harder time?
Well, you know, I mean, we've done Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, and C.S. Lewis sort of made that come alive in a way in his Narnia stories because he integrated so many different kinds of plots and ideas. In fact, one of the things we try and do with Adventures in Odyssey is tell a real strong moral Christian worldview message. And the nice thing about, I think, about these fairy tales is that there's not just one message, but a whole bunch of them in most of these fairy tales. And I think the writers, you know, intentionally crafted them that way so that they could hit all these little things that maybe their own kids were dealing with. And this was their way of trying to get them back into line, or so to speak. I don't know.
One thing I would add to that is fairy tales, when they were originally written, were not written for children.
Right.
A lot of the fairy tales were written for adults. They were adult metaphors for what goes on in life and how we respond to it. If you read some of the original Grimm's fairy tales or the original tales from antiquity, they're pretty graphic. As the years have gone by and we're trying to actually teach children about universal themes and not just we, but everybody in antiquity too, they softened up some of the rough edges on these fairy tales and, you know, lessened some of the graphic nature of them and still tried to keep the theme in there and the moral in there. So fairy tales kind of presaged what we do on Odyssey, like Dave was saying, in that we always have some sort of takeaway that the listeners can use in their daily lives and in their Christian walk. And fairy tales, of course, are not explicitly Christian, but they deal with morality and how we should conduct ourselves in life. And I think that in many ways, what Lewis, I think, part of what Lewis was getting at was the idea that you can be a little bit more outrageous, or even a lot more outrageous, in fairy tales.
And like I said, the takeaways of these stories are so obvious in the end. And both these stories, of course, that you base it on, Dave, were not original. They're both from the Brothers Grimm. So of the hundreds of stories that you could have chosen, what made these stand out to you?
Well, I think Phil just sort of said it, which is some of them just I can't do by nature of how graphic they are, you know. Even the ones that I've done, you have to adapt them. But these ones were very ready in terms of having a strong moral viewpoint. And, you know, the tortoise and the hare story is one that everybody knows, and it was fun to tell it in a different way. And
yeah, you mentioned the inclusion of a narrator as one of the creative choices. And even beyond that, there was another choice that you've made that, Phil, you also made when you did Jungle Jam, and that was to be able to have the narrator be heard by the characters, and sometimes there'd be a little bit of back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. When do you know that that is the appropriate move as you're talking about a writing exercise?
Usually on something like this, I think is it funny? And Holstein, like Dave was saying, is such a great, funny character. And the way Dan plays him is so funny.
Yeah. And I think you also want to use it sparingly. I mean, you don't want to do it much. You want to find just the right moments to do it. It can be a great tool.
Another thing that's interesting to point out with this episode is that it was actually recorded with three stories. Not the two that actually ended up appearing. So what was the third story? Why was it cut? And is there any chance we'll ever get to hear that?
Yes. And, well, I don't know if there's three yeses there. But the first answer is the Country Mouse and the City Mouse was the name of the story, I think. I fashioned that as a, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the Shakespeare in a Moment kind of things that have been done. So you can go through Romeo and Juliet in 60 seconds. I wanted to do the same thing with this, partly because I thought it'd be a fun exercise. The second part was because I thought it was just going to be a little bit short. The whole episode might be a little bit short. So this would be a good little, you know, a good little stocking stuffer, so to speak. The problem was that I guessed wrong. Like every one of my shows that I've ever written, they're never short. What am I thinking? You know, so I actually had to cut it because the show was too long anyway. So we have it. It's been recorded. And will we use it? I think we probably will. Yeah. If the next time I do one of these shows, I'll stick it in there and cut it again, probably.
I certainly hope so. That was a whole lot of fun to do. I really enjoyed doing that little bit. I don't know why we ever worry about shows being short.
It's true.
Now, hey, Dave, I have a question for you. Those three fairy tales, they were centered around a certain theme, right? That's the reason. One of the reasons you chose them was because of the theme of those fairy tales?
Well, no, like I said earlier, I think all of them have different themes that you can take away. And so that's what I was sort of planting at the beginning of the show when I had Holstein set the table. He basically says, be listening to these and see if you can figure out what the themes are. And so that was the idea, was there's no one specific theme that journeyed through every one of those stories. There were just different themes. And I wanted the kids or the listeners to pick up and sort of discern what those are, so that as they're reading, you know, their own fairy tales or reading books, they're looking for those kinds of things too, intuitively. And so that was just an exercise that I planted intentionally.
Something I found interesting, Dave, when you mentioned earlier the fact that you wanted to do a new spin on The Tortoise and the Hare, which most people know, I thought that The Hare and the Hedgehog brought another dimension, because one of the things that we've wanted to do lately is not have things be quite so black and white. And sometimes these shades of gray give parents and kids some things to talk about. And I thought, you know, with The Tortoise and the Hare, there was a clear rooting interest, I think, that morally speaking, we could have. In this case, we had two characters that were not exactly noble in their own ways. And that's something that, can you talk about how, as you were writing it, that played into the story?
Yeah, well, I think, if you read the original story, that's pretty much the case. It's been cleaned up a little bit for all of the things that you've seen, making the tortoise this sort of underdog that takes over and wins the Goliath rabbit. That's really not the case in the story. Both of them are flawed characters. The hedgehog, you know, a very deceptive person and basically lies. and does it to sort of torment the rabbit. And, you know, the hare is obviously arrogant and, you know, has his own perspective on, you know, I can bury you and you're inferior and all of those kinds of things. In most stories, really, most characters have flaws, and that's what makes, I think, for a very rich story, is when we can dive into all of the characters and see what their struggles are and what their issues are. And then, you know, it gives us, depending on who we identify with, it can give each of us different takeaways.
How about you, Phil? Anything to add to that?
Well, I think that it's interesting, the whole idea of the characters in fairy tales not being completely good or completely bad. It really reflects Bible stories, too, the biblical stories. If everybody's talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have sort of a real idealized version of those characters. But all three of those characters, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had immense flaws. And and yet they were still
and
people of God.
Deception is one
they
of them.
The, yeah, deception is one of them. I mean, their moral character is really, really not that great. In many instances, and yet these are the pillars of our, you know, of the Jewish faith and of our faith too. So I think fairy tale writers understood the richness of Scripture in many instances and mimicked that, mirrored that in their tales. That's what I think good writers do. You know, when you talk about morality there, if you're going to steal from the best.
Yeah. And really, with such dimensional characters that you're talking about, how did the casting process go? You know, aside from Holstein, which, of course, you had picked out, each of these characters is new and could have been played by a variety of different actors. So how did you end up choosing, for the various parts, Keith Ferguson as the Hare, Jim Meskimen as the Hedgehog, and Adam MacArthur for Doof?
Well, I had very specific voices in my head for each of these parts. Let me just start at Doof because it's such a great name anyway. Adam MacArthur plays the role. Adam MacArthur plays the role of Horace in the show. And when I was writing Doof, I kept hearing his Horace role. And so I thought, well, it makes perfect sense for have Horace to come over and sort of do this kids' radio kind of story for us, you know. In terms of the other characters, Keith is just a great utility guy. He's an amazing actor that we can go to and say, Keith, I'm looking for this. And I gave him a very specific idea, and he nailed it. And then with the Hedgehog, Jim Meskimen, what I asked him to do, I don't know if, again, I'm referencing very old actor here, but Barry Fitzgerald is one of those character actors from 70 years ago, 80 years ago, that was just fabulous. And he was in the John Wayne film, The Quiet Man. And, you know, that's all set in Ireland. And I kept hearing Barry Fitzgerald's voice in that. And I thought, I wonder if anybody can do that. And I thought, Jim Meskimen. And, oh, my goodness, he really pulled it off. He was amazing. And then even Phil did a fabulous job.
The tails, but my throat is so dry, I need something
to
drink.
It's so parched, I can hardly breathe. Yes. But then I had Phil come in and do a role, too, that he's done before for us, because it was just the right role, you know? And so it's the actors that bring what you write alive. And if you get the right casting, it can be magic.
Yeah, Phil, you had fun with a voice I always enjoy hearing you pull out, and that's your Jim Backus voice for the Count, Doof's dad in this episode. For our younger fans, Phil, who was Jim Backus, and why does that voice work so well for this part?
It's going to be hard to explain who Jim Backus was, because every reference that I would give would still be outdated. Jim Backus was Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island. So if everybody knows who Gilligan's Island was and what that series was, then he was Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island.
He
and
was also Mr. Magoo.
The voice of Mr. Magoo in the cartoons, Mr. Magoo. And he plays that wonderful character, that guy who is very, very wealthy and very good. And he's a very Harvard educated man. And he just fit into this role really, really well.
Well, now it's time for one of my favorite parts of the podcast. It's today's TRQ.
TRQ!
Or totally random question. And this one comes to us from Candy B 2016. So, Dave and Phil, what is your favorite day of the year?
We're asking them to pick from 365 days.
Yes.
That is
I like all the days. That is a totally random question.
Wow, that is totally random.
Favorite day?
Probably yesterday.
I think today is my favorite day.
Okay. Now, let me play devil's advocate for a second, because I have a feeling Candy may have been asking, would it be your birthday? Would it be Christmas? Would it be New Year's? Would it be Groundhog Day?
That's mine.
That would then, it would have to be St. Crispin's Day. Yeah, St. Crispin's Day, with that great speech by Henry IV, I think it is. Men will account themselves accursed that they were not with us on St. Crispin's Day!
Well, I'm going to be really spiritual then and just say Easter, because it's obviously the, you know, the launching point for all of our lives. And, you know, I my wife and I were just talking about this, you know, yesterday. What an incredible honor it is to be counted as God's kids. And to be, you know, one of his chosen people. And, you know, how can you improve on, you know, on Easter? I don't know how it's possible. My second favorite day would be my wedding anniversary, because I'm getting ready to celebrate 40 years with my lovely wife.
Mm. Awesome. So. Awesome.
Well, I like Easter, too.
Copycat.
And I like your wedding anniversary, too, Dave. Thanks for making me look like an idiot here.
Well, CandyB 2016, thank you for your question. And because we used it on the podcast, we're going to send you nothing. But, you know, there are a lot of people who
we got to work on that, Bob.
Submitted TRQs that didn't have it asked today. So we're very grateful for that. Well, moving right along, for the kids listening who may be considering different career options, and this really is for both of you, what's one thing that you wished you knew when you were a kid that would have helped you make better decisions to prepare for your future?
You know what? I honestly have to say, I'm doing what I really wanted to do as a kid. I would say, for if you want to do this business, and this probably goes with whatever business you're in, learn as much as you can about it. Get as much experience as you can doing everything that you can in it.
You know, I'm kind of with Phil. I feel like I'm living my dream job. You know, my whole family, everybody in my family is a creative person. And I often felt that I myself was probably the least of these, because I've got some very creative brothers and sisters and parents and all of that. But to be able to do this job is, you can't plan for it. We didn't even know there would be such a thing as radio drama resurfacing again at this juncture of time. I mean, I could never have seen that coming. It was just really a God thing that God, I think, planted in all of us who are creative people the seed of imagination and creativity from his spirit. And I feel like the Lord just sort of shepherded me where he wanted me to be.
Yeah, and I think it's cool how you both mentioned school and really God's guidance is what kind of does it. But, you know, like you both said as well, you have to go out there and get the experience, whether it's acting in school plays or it's opportunities at churches. I started off writing for a town newspaper when I was in high school and writing for the high school newspaper and just kept writing and writing and writing. And it's funny, when you're doing it back then, you think you're doing so great and it's awesome, and you go back and read that stuff and it's horrible. But you have to go through the horrible part to get good at it. So I think that's some great advice.
Very true. And very interesting that as we are talking about this to conclude our conversation, very similar to Doof's journey in this month's adventure. You can prepare and think you know what the future is going to hold, but a lot of times God will just use the journey that he has you on, and he's got it in mind. He knows what he wants to do with you.
Mm. Well, thanks so much, Dave and Phil. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys, and today lived up to expectations as well. So appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
You can hear this episode,
Cough Kino, a hare, a hedgehog, and a doof,
in the club right now. Let's hear a preview.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Welcome to another uber good fairy tales here on Kids Radio.
It's a story that feels familiar.
The hare and the hedgehog.
I challenge the hare to a race. That was your plan. Oh, I'm glad you've never had one before. No, that's not the plan. My plan is to win. You're really not good at this plan thing, are you?
Fairy tales with a twist and a moral. Listen this month only on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And of course, you can hear hundreds of other episodes featuring the voices, writing, directing, sound designing, and executive producing of our pair of guests in the club, too.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit our website at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast.
Join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.